Greetings in the name of our soon coming Savior and Lord. Your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas. Now I should like to turn with you to the Word of God, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 4, and the end verse, which reads thus, "But who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, you will perhaps recall in our last broadcast to you, we reminded you of some four things that believers in our Lord Jesus Christ possess. For instance, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ know, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ are, and best of all, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ expect. Now, we spent some considerable time showing from the Word of God what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ know. First of all, that we know that we have eternal life. That, of course, is based upon God's precious, holy, and unerring Word. But we want to say a little now today about what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have. And if you notice the reading of the Scripture, that is the portion that we just read to you, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 begins like this: "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What a priceless portion, what a priceless possession. We have, here and now, peace with God. Now, it isn't necessary to remind you that untold billions have been spent. Lives have been forfeited. Rivers of blood have been shed in order to obtain peace in this world, and peace that really doesn't last. We thank God for the measure of peace that is ours now, but we are assured from the Word of God, according to Daniel's prophecy, that unto the end wars are determined. So after all, peace is a very personal thing. And while we have been reminding ourselves of what it has cost to enjoy seasons of peace in our lifetime, but to obtain this personal peace that we have been reading about, it cost all that our God in heaven has. Yes, it cost His well-beloved Son. It cost His only Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you know that God could have far more easily given or created a world for each one of us than to have sent His Son, His only Son, the darling of His bosom, from heaven into this world of sin and sorrow, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for every person, yes, that He might taste death for you. And so it is His desire that you might know, that you might enjoy this peace that has been so dearly purchased. And we read to you that it comes to us, comes to you on the easiest possible terms. In other words, it costs you nothing, but it costs our blessed, blessed God, His own Son, His darling Son. He went all the way to Calvary, went to the cross that He might taste death, that He might take your place and put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, so that all who trust Him, and you can say peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. And He made peace by the blood of His cross. Now, it isn't merely enough that our blessed Lord Jesus Christ has purchased peace, and further, that peace is being proclaimed, peace is being preached. But what is of real interest and what means something to you is if you can say that I now possess that peace that He has so dearly purchased. Peace with God. And as I look up, I can say nothing between my soul and my Savior. Yes, that's what God expects and wants you to know and to enjoy. Now, may I point out that the Word of God has something to say about peace with God. And then the Word of God has something to say further about the peace of God. For instance, any sinner, that man, that woman, that boy or girl, who has loved his or her sin, has sinned against God with a high hand, lived and acted without God in his or her life, but who has come to realize, in other words, has been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God that he or she is a sinner, and that those sins, if unforgiven, if those sins are not put away, that they would sink me into outer darkness, into endless despair, endless hell for all eternity, unless I know the Christ of God, unless I know peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so anyone such coming to him, trusting Christ as his or her own personal Savior, right on the spot, instantaneously, has peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But now let's go on just a little further. Believers in Christ, that is to say, those who are saved already, who know peace with God, may experience what the Word of God speaks of as the peace of God. Now, if you were to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and you might do it at your leisure, you would there read in about verse 6 this amazing statement that says, be careful, or that is to say, be over anxious for nothing. And that should characterize us as Christians. We should be able to wait upon God, to count upon God, and as the Apostle Peter puts it in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But now listen, he says in this wonderful chapter, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful, be over anxious for nothing. And he further says, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now here's the pledge and the promise. And it isn't peace with God, but it's something that's even infinitely greater. And he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. What a pledge and what a promise. Not only to have peace with God, but to have the very peace of God ruling in my heart from day to day, so that I could live a carefree life, not a careless life, you can be sure. But as far as anxiety is concerned, I would not need to bear a burden or burdens in this respect, but I could cast them all upon him and have that peace that passeth all understanding to keep or to garrison my heart and my mind through Jesus Christ. Now, the highest possible attainment is found in the same fourth chapter, and that's a little farther down, where we have brought before us the God of peace. Now, there could be nothing higher than that. And the apostle there knew it. He knew it experimentally. He says, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, there's no possible higher attainment this side of heaven. So we've been stressing then what believers have, and we have seen that we have peace with God. But let's proceed just a little further, for there are many, many other things that we have. Believers in Christ have an advocate with the Father. Now, if you were to turn to the first epistle of John, and again reminding you that this is the family epistle, and if you were to read it, verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write we unto you that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, we do not have an advocate with God, but we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. No, believers do not live in sin. That we did when we belonged to the first man, Adam, when we were estranged to Christ, when we did not have the life of God in our hearts and in our souls, we lived in sin. But now, since God in sovereign grace has reached us and saved us, now we seek to live to His honor and to His glory. And we have the new life. We're raised to walk in newness of life. And so we do have, thank God, we have an advocate, one who represents us to God the Father. And He's seated with the Father upon the Father's throne, and His name is Jesus. But that isn't all that believers have, and to have peace with God and to have an advocate. But we also have access. Think of that, if you will. And I believe you'd find that passage in the first tip, in the second chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians, and in about verse 18, which says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Now, there are certain places that we might like to go, but we simply cannot. We do not have access. We do not have free access. But we do, as believers, we have access. Access unto the Father by the one Spirit unto the Father. Oh, how wonderful. Yes, we have access. We also have, as the Apostle tells us, we have a great high priest. We have an intercessor, and we can go to God at all times and under any circumstance, and we're assured that we have an open ear, sympathetic ear, one who is interested and one who invites us, as we are told in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And I should like to think of that and link it up with this just a little further, something else that we have. And if you were to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, we read there, "Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or our confession." And since we have a great high priest in the presence of God, we are told in that wonderful same epistle in the end verse, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need." Oh, I wonder if we all appreciate today what we have. And it's been a joy to my heart to think of and to really look into the Scriptures and search out the things that we have. In other words, the possessions that are ours here and now, and to assess true values. Is it any wonder then that the Apostle Paul could say in the Epistle to the Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things in the earth." Yes, thank God, we have all things in our Lord and in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And each person who is saved can say that we have a good shepherd. And I'm sure you appreciate those words in the wonderful 23rd Psalm in the first verse that says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have a shepherd, and I have a Savior." I would like to have turned to with you to several other passages which we cannot now turn to, but thinking of one especially that ought to be a joy to our hearts is found in the Gospel by St. John, chapter 14, where we have a Comforter. And I think perhaps you would find that in the 14th chapter and in about verse 16 that says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." So that not only do we have life eternal, we have the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if all this is not yours, may God grant it today. Trust Him with that soul of yours and receive Him and enjoy. And if you are His, may He help you to go on from grace to grace, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. He's coming soon. And we may say something a little bit later about what we expect as His own dear children. Meantime, God bless and keep you for His name's sake. Amen.